Ladies and gentlemen, trivia enthusiasts and knowledge seekers from around the world, welcome back to another thrilling edition of 20 Questions. We're thrilled to have you join us for yet another exhilarating journey through the realms of curiosity and intellect. In this latest episode, we're diving deep into a treasure trove of trivia, covering a wide range of topics guaranteed to challenge your mind and spark your imagination. From history to science, from poetry to pop culture, get ready to test your knowledge and discover fascinating facts along the way. Before we embark on our quest for wisdom, a quick reminder of the rules. You'll face a series of 20 thought-provoking questions, each building upon the last. With each question, the challenge intensifies, so stay sharp and focused. You'll have just 10 seconds to deliver the correct answer, so trust your instincts and let your intellect shine. But remember, one wrong answer and it's game over. The idea of the game is to see how far you can go without getting a single question wrong. And hey, don't forget to stay engaged and interact with us. Whether you're shouting out answers, sharing your thoughts on social media, or even submitting your own trivia questions for future episodes, your participation makes 20 questions even more special. Look out for us on X at 20 Questions Quiz or drop us an email, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. So without much further ado, let the trivia extravaganza begin. Brace yourself for a whirlwind of fun, excitement and enlightenment as we embark on yet another episode of 20 Questions. So let's see how far you can go. Let's play 20 Questions. So here we go once again. If you're joining us for the first time, or if you are a seasoned veteran, as you all know, we start incredibly easy and they get harder as we go along. So question one of 20 is this. According to the proverb, a man's home is his what? According to the proverb, a man's home is his what?
Five, four, three, two, one.
According to the proverb, a man's home is his castle. It signifies the idea that one's home is their refuge, a place where they have control and authority. Question number two is this. In athletics, what do long jumpers and triple jumpers land on? In athletics, what do long jumpers and triple jumpers land on?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Long jumpers and triple jumpers typically land in a sand pit or a sand-filled landing area. This soft landing surface helps absorb the impact and reduces the risk of injury when athletes complete their jumps. Number three, what is the name of the tiny pieces of paper thrown in the air during celebrations, such as weddings? What is the name of the tiny pieces of paper thrown in the air during celebrations, such as weddings?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The tiny pieces of paper thrown in the air during celebrations, such as weddings, are often called confetti. Confetti is used to add a festive atmosphere and is traditionally thrown to celebrate special occasions. Question four. A sporting event that is taking place right now in Sheffield, England is the World Snooker Championship. And the game of snooker involves different coloured balls. And your question is about one of those coloured balls, the blue ball. How many points is the blue ball worth in a game of snooker? How many points is the blue ball worth in a game of snooker?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, it's an easy question if you live in the British Isles. Maybe though, to my American friends, it might be a little bit more difficult for you guys to get, and you may have just taken a guess. But the blue ball in a game of snooker is worth 5 points. 5 is the right answer. To question 5, and which politician was nicknamed the Iron Lady? Which politician was nicknamed the Iron Lady?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The politician nicknamed the Iron Lady was Margaret Thatcher, who served as the British Prime Minister from 1979 to 1990. She earned this moniker due to her uncompromising leadership style and strong conservative policies. To question 6. Which animals are central to the play Equus? Which animals are central to the play Equus?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The central animals in the play Equus are horses. The play, written by Peter Schaefer, explores the complex relationships between a troubled young man named Alan Strang and the horses he has an intense, almost religious, fascination with. The story delves into themes of passion, obsession, and the clash between societal norms and individual desires. Moving on to question number 7. The technique known as CPR stands for cardiopulmonary what? The technique known as CPR stands for cardiopulmonary what?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The technique known as CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It is an emergency procedure performed on someone who is in cardiac arrest or experiencing respiratory failure, involving chest compressions and rescue breaths to maintain blood circulation and oxygenation. Question 8, and we move on now to movie soundtracks. As featured in the 1987 film Top Gun, Take My Breath Away was a worldwide hit for which band? As featured in the 1987 film Top Gun, Take My Breath Away was a worldwide hit for which band?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Take My Breath Away was a worldwide hit featured in the 1987 film Top Gun. It was performed by the band Berlin. The song became one of Berlin's most well-known and successful tracks, winning both the Academy Award for Best Original Song and the Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song. Question 9. Poetry. In the Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, what bird was hung around the mariner's neck? In the Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, what bird was hung around the mariner's neck?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In Coleridge's poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, the bird hung around the mariner's neck was an albatross. The killing of an albatross and its subsequent hanging around the mariner's neck serve as the central symbol of the mariner's guilt and the consequences of his actions. Question 10. From poetry to art, and which artist famously painted the work known as The Scream? Which artist famously painted the work known as The Scream?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The famous painting known as The Scream was created by Norwegian artist Edvard Munch. It's one of the most iconic and recognisable artworks in the modern era, depicting a figure with an agonised expression against a swirling, vividly coloured background. We're over the halfway mark on this edition of 20 questions. 10 down, 10 to go. Questions to come on film, newspapers, capital cities, science, Indian legend, countries, the Olympic Games, Napoleon and the UN. But first, famous film quotes. Question 11 of 20 is this. In which film is the Robert De Niro famous line, "You talking to me," first said? In which film is the Robert De Niro famous line, "You talking to me," first said?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The famous line, "You talking to me," was first said by Robert De Niro in the film Taxi Driver. He delivered this memorable line during a scene in which his character, Travis Buckle, rehearses confrontations in front of a mirror. Question 12, science. What is the space between nerve cells called? What is the space between nerve cells called?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The space between nerve cells is called the synapse. It's a crucial junction where electrical impulses from one neuron are transmitted to another neuron through chemical neurotransmitters. Question 13. Which world capital city was once known as Edo? Which world capital city was once known as Edo? E-D-O.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It is one of my favourite cities in the world. I absolutely adore the city with a passion. This city and Barcelona are my two favourite cities in the world. The world capital city that was once known as Edo is Tokyo, Japan. Tokyo. Edo was the former name of Tokyo and served as the seat of power for the Tokugawa shogunate during the Edo period of 1603 to 1868 in Japanese history. Question 14 of 20. Which regular newspaper feature first appeared in the New York World in December 1913? Which regular newspaper feature first appeared in the New York World in December 1913?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The regular newspaper feature that first appeared in the New York World in December 1913 was the crossword puzzle. It was created by journalist Arthur Wynne and was initially called Word Cross Puzzle. The crossword puzzle quickly gained popularity and became a staple in newspapers all around the world. Question 15 of 20 deals with horror films. 25 years ago, The Blair Witch Project was released. The question is this. In that film, the characters go missing in the woods of which US state? In the 1999 film, The Blair Witch Project, the characters go missing in the woods of which US state?
Five, four, three, two, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
In the 1999 film The Blair Witch Project, the characters go missing in the woods of Maryland, US. The film utilizes a found footage style to depict the fictional story of three student filmmakers who venture into the woods near Burkittsville, Maryland, to film a documentary about the local legend of the Blair Witch. So we've reached the final five. The hardest five questions on this edition of 20 Questions deal with Indian legend, history of countries, the Olympic Games, Napoleon, and the United Nations. But first, question 16 of 20 is this, and it's on Indian legend. According to Indian legend, Rama rescued his wife, Sita, with the help of an army made up of which two animals? According to Indian legend, Rama rescued his wife, Sita, with the help of an army made up of which two animals?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, I was a little bit biased earlier to our British listeners for that snooker question, even though snooker was actually invented in India many years ago. But this one will go to our Indian contingent. I know there's a few of you listening out on the subcontinent, so these guys will get this straight away. According to Indian legend, Rama rescued his wife Sita with the help of an army made up of two animals. They were monkeys and bears. In the ancient Indian epic called the Ramayana, the tale of Rama and Sita unfolds against the backdrop of a complex and multifaceted narrative. Rama, an incarnation of the god Vishnu, is the beloved prince of Ayodhya, destined for greatness. However, his journey takes a tumultuous turn when his wife Sita is abducted by the demon king Ravana, who desires her for his own. To rescue Sita, Rama forms an alliance with Sugriva, the exiled monkey king, and his loyal general Hanuman, who possesses extraordinary powers. Together with an army of monkeys, including notable characters like Anganda and Jambavan, they embark on a perilous quest to Lanka, the island kingdom ruled by Ravana. The monkeys, renowned for their agility and strength, provide invaluable assistance to Rama's cause. Their fearless leader, Hanuman, emerges as a key figure, displaying unmatched courage, devotion, and intellect. His legendary leap across the ocean to reach Lanka and his subsequent reconnaissance of the enemy stronghold epitomize his pivotal role in the rescue mission. Additionally, bears, led by the wise and formidable Jambavan, also join Rama's army. Jambavan's sage counsel and martial prowess contribute significantly to the success of the endeavor. The bears, known for their tenacity and ferocity in battle, complement the monkeys' skills, forming a formidable force that overwhelms Ravana's defenses. Together, the monkeys and bears navigate treacherous landscapes, confront formidable adversaries, and ultimately reach the fortress of Lanka to confront Ravana and rescue Sita. Their unwavering loyalty, selflessness, and camaraderie exemplify the triumph of good over evil, and the enduring power of unity in the face of adversity in this timeless tale of heroism and devotion. Question 17 of 20 deals with the history of countries, and it is this. Which country was founded in the 1820s as a refuge for freed American slaves? Which country was founded in the 1820s as a refuge for freed American slaves?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, have you got it? Liberia. Liberia's founding in the 1820s represents a unique chapter in the history of African-American emancipation and colonization efforts. The idea of resettling freed African-Americans gained traction in the early 19th century as a response to the ongoing debate over slavery and racial tensions in the United States. The American Colonization Society, founded in 1816, spearheaded the movement, advocating for the repatriation of freed slaves to Africa. The ACS aimed to address multiple concerns through colonization, including racial prejudice, social integration, and the perceived challenge of assimilating freed slaves into American society. Additionally, proponents of colonization believed it would help mitigate potential conflicts between freed slaves and white Americans, as well as alleviate the economic and social burdens associated with slavery. Liberia, located on the west coast of Africa, was chosen as the ideal location for the colonization project due to its geographical proximity to the US and its perceived suitability for resettlement. In 1821, the ACS established a settlement on the Pepper Coast, which later became known as Liberia. The name Liberia itself reflects the aspirations of the ACS, deriving from the Latin word liber, which means free. The early settlers of Liberia, predominantly freed African Americans and some freed slaves, faced numerous challenges as they established their new homeland. They encountered resistance from indigenous African peoples, navigated unfamiliar terrain and climates, and grappled with disease and scarcity. Despite these obstacles, the settlers persevered, establishing towns and communities and laying the foundation for Liberia's development as a nation. In 1847, Liberia declared its independence, becoming the first republic in Africa to be founded by African Americans. The capital city, Monrovia, was named in honor of US President James Monroe, who supported the colonization efforts. Over time, Liberia evolved into a sovereign nation with its own government, institutions, and cultural identity. While Liberia's founding represents a significant milestone in the history of African-American emancipation and self-determination, it also raises complex questions about colonization, identity, and the legacy of slavery. The nation's history is marked by both achievements and challenges, reflecting the ongoing struggle for freedom, equality, and justice on the African continent and beyond. Question 18 of 20. As I record this episode, we're less than 100 days to the Olympic Games, which take place in Paris. This is a question about that magnificent event. First beginning at the Berlin Olympics in 1936, and it's still part of the Games to this day. What Olympic tradition was added by Nazi propagandists? First beginning at the Berlin Olympics in 1936, and still part of the Games to this day. What Olympic tradition was added by Nazi propagandists?
Five, four, three, two, one.
This was a fact I couldn't believe when I heard, and I had to check it twice, but it is absolutely true. The tradition that was added by Nazi propagandists and added to the Olympics in 1936 and still goes on to this day is the Olympic torch relay. It was introduced at the Berlin Olympics in 1936, and it was a spectacle orchestrated by the Nazis to imbue the games as a sense of grandeur and historical continuity. Drawing inspiration from ancient Greek traditions, the relay sought to symbolize the revival of the Olympic spirit under the auspices of Nazi Germany. The relay commenced with the lighting of the Olympic flame at the Temple of Hera in Olympia, Greece, the site of the ancient Olympic Games. A ceremony was held where the flame was kindled using a parabolic mirror, symbolizing the eternal flame that burned during the original games in ancient times. From there, the torchbearer embarked on a journey carrying the flame through various countries on the way to the host city of the Olympics. The route of the torch relay was carefully planned to showcase the power and reach of the Nazi regime, with the torch passing through significant landmarks and cities in Europe. Each torchbearer symbolized the unity and athleticism celebrated by the Olympic movement, while also given a propagandistic tool to promote Nazi ideals of strength, unity, and national pride. Despite its controversial origins, the Olympic torch relay has endured as a cherished tradition in the modern Olympic Games. It continues to symbolize the values of peace, cooperation, and sportsmanship, transcending its association with Nazi Germany to become a globally recognized symbol of the Olympic spirit. Two questions left on this edition of 20 questions. If you got the previous 18 right, all credit to you. But I've got two more difficult questions for you to pass, for you to say that you have defeated 20 questions. 19 of 20 is this. What was found by Napoleon's army in 1799 as they were rebuilding a Middle Eastern fort? What was found by Napoleon's army in 1799 as they were rebuilding a Middle Eastern fort?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The answer, the Rosetta Stone. A steel made of grandoloriate was discovered by members of Napoleon Bonaparte's army during an expedition to Egypt in 1799. The stone itself bears inscriptions in three scripts: Greek, Demotic, and hieroglyphic. It is believed to have been created around 196 BC during the reign of King Ptolemy V of Egypt, when Napoleon's forces were fortifying a structure near the town of Rosetta, which is now modern-day Rashid. They stumbled upon this remarkable artifact. However, the significance of the Rosetta Stone wasn't fully appreciated until scholars began studying it in detail. The Greek inscription on the stone contained a decree issued by Egyptian priests affirming the royal cult of the 13-year-old Ptolemy V. The same decree was also inscribed in Demotic, a script used for everyday purposes in ancient Egypt, and hieroglyphic, the sacred script of the Egyptian priesthood. This discovery was monumental because it provided the key to understanding hieroglyphs, a writing system that has been indecipherable for over 1,000 years. Scholars like Jean-François Campion would later use the Rosetta Stone as a crucial tool in their efforts to unlock the secrets of the ancient Egyptian language and its culture, marking a pivotal moment in the study of Egyptology and historical linguistics. So we have made it. 19 down, 1 to go. Question 20 of 20. This is the question you need to get right to defeat 20 questions. And it's on the United Nations. Question 20 of 20 is this. Who was the first elected Secretary General of the United Nations? Who was the first elected Secretary General of the United Nations?
Five, four, three, two, 1.
So, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got the answer? The hardest question of our 20. To say that you have defeated 20 questions. His name? Trygve Lie, a Norwegian diplomat, assumed the role of the first elected Secretary General of the UN in 1946, marking the beginning of a new era in international diplomacy. His appointment came at a pivotal moment in history as the world sought to rebuild and foster global cooperation following the devastation of World War II. Lee's tenure as Secretary General was characterized by a commitment to advancing the principles and objectives of the UN, including the promotion of peace, security, and human rights. He navigated complex geopolitical dynamics and worked tirelessly to mediate conflicts, facilitate negotiations, and strengthen international cooperation. One of Lee's most significant achievements was his instrumental role in the establishment of the United Nations Secretariat, the administrative arm of the organization responsible for coordinating its activities and supporting its various organs and agencies. Under his leadership, the Secretariat expanded its capabilities and infrastructure, laying the groundwork for the UN to fulfill its mandate effectively. Lee also played a crucial role in shaping the UN's response to key international challenges, including the establishment of peacemaking operations to address conflicts and maintain stability in regions of conflict. He advocated for the principles of collective security and multilateral diplomacy, emphasizing the importance of dialogue, negotiation, and diplomacy in resolving disputes and preventing the outbreak of war. Despite his dedication and efforts, Lee faced numerous challenges during his tenure, including tensions among member states, bureaucratic hurdles, and criticism of the UN's effectiveness in addressing global issues. In 1952, amid mounting pressures and controversies, Lee did not seek re-election, marking the end of his tenure as Secretary General. Trygve Lie's legacy as the first Secretary General of the UN is one of pioneering leadership and commitment to the ideals of international cooperation and peace. His contributions laid the foundation for the UN to become a vital forum for diplomacy, conflict resolution, and the promotion of human rights and development on a global scale. And there you have it. That concludes the end of this edition of 20 Questions. How did you do this week? I want to hear about it on X at 20 Questions Quiz, or drop me an email, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you wherever you may be in the world. This podcast now downloaded in nearly 100 countries around the world. Thank you for your continued support wherever you may be. And don't forget to test your friends, test your family, test your work colleagues, and let's see how far they can go on 20 Questions. From me, Johnny Bryan, thank you so much once again for your company. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.